Good morning. Good morning. My goodness, can you believe the snow again? I told Dick Miller, and I'm not making this up, I'm a nut for snow. I love snow, Dave. I love snow. But I am sick of snow. And the sweaty guy is tired of the cold. So, man, I tell you, I can't believe it. But it's just wonderful to be here. Be careful. Be careful on the trip home, because another inch or two are inbound and should diminish by noon. So do be careful on your journey home. Before we begin our worship, are there any parish notices to come before us? Big.
Good morning. Our fun group, we were supposed to meet tonight, but due to some issues, we are going to move that possibly to next Sunday. So if you are in the 20s and 30s group wanting to come to the financial talk, we are moving it to more likely next Sunday, and I'll get you guys information on that. But it's not tonight.
Excellent, Megan. Probably a very wise choice, too. Thank you, Megan. Yes, sir, Richard.
But I didn't see it on the board. We just want to remind you that next weekend, Valentine's dinner, we'll see you all there.
Dick, we wouldn't miss it. That is just going to be awesome. And the proceeds, the donations go to the big upcoming mission trip, do they not, partner? Bless your hearts, buddy. Bless your hearts. Well, I'm proud of you. Just, proud of you, coach. Proud of you. Yes, sir. And that'll be an opportunity to help to contribute to that vital ministry of Christ. Any other parish notices to come before us? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Light of the world, shine upon us that we may glimpse your wisdom this day. Love of all creation, flow through us that we may be filled with your compassion and grace. Flavor and spice of life, salt us with your truth that we may spread your justice and love into all the corners of the earth. In the light of your love, we pray. Amen. Shout to the Lord
with justice and love.
Cry out to God
for righteousness and truth.
Sound the trumpet
of compassion and grace.
Shout to the Lord
with justice and love.
Lift up your hearts, your voices unto the Lord in praise. Hymn number 73, O Worship the King. Take this opportunity, welcome your neighbors through the passing of the peace. time, and I'm a looking too. I'm looking with a vested interest, Christy. At this time, we will invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. And let me see. Oh, I see Cole back there. I didn't see Cole. Is Chloe back there? Bailey? All right. I didn't leave. You're not that lucky. I figured I'd get a little help here. I need all the help I can get, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what Greg does. I'm not the strongest musician. I tell you, I really lean on Keith and Linda. Wurtenberger always told us that Linda's our safety net whenever we do music. I say amen to that. But I'm going to get my young people to help me out here. And what we're going to do, we're going to invite these children as well. I couldn't pass up this opportunity because, I mean, this is one you know so well. Plus, it's a passage of Scripture that I dare say you know so well. Jesus says to us through the gospel writer this morning, Matthew, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. And nobody, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, so that it sheds light for all that are in the house." Do the same, says Jesus. "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Everybody in the house. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Where? Well, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everybody sing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, put your hands together. I'm gonna let it shine. That's right. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Keep those hands together now, because all through the night, I'm gonna let it shine, and it will shine. All through the night, I'm gonna let it shine. No darkness overcomes it. All through the night, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. One more time. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Big ending together. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let your light so shine. God bless you, children. God bless you. You let that light shine. You know, every sucker that you give to somebody, you watch their face light up. That's what the love of Jesus does. Lights you up. I know, because some of you have given a sucker to me, and I just lit up by that love. So we're going to hand out those suckers, and then we're First of all, we're going to have our prayer. Let's give a prayer of thanks to God for his love. Let's make a, you know, this is a good sized circle this morning. Are we all impressed at this? I think we're just getting tough, aren't we? We're just taking on the snow now. It ain't going to stop. Randy Bollinger said it ain't going to stop him. Let's give thanks. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love that is a light in our lives and it shines upon our pathways. Your love guides us like a beacon in the night, and that light will never go out. Help us, Lord, in humble ways to reflect your light on the paths of others, all to your glory, that they may be led to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's give you your suckers, and Preston's going to help me this morning. He's going to help me, so I want to make sure everybody's got your suckers here. Get you two. There you go. Here you go, Cole. Cole, when I saw you back there, my face lit up. Yes, it did. See, that's what it is, being in church together. We lean on each other, don't we? There we go. All right. There you go, buddy. Oh, those are good selections. You may return to your pews, and don't forget, share that sucker with somebody. Tell them Jesus loves them, and watch their face light up. Looking for mine. Did I just lose my? I might have lost my mind. Oh, here it is. I got an extra bulletin from my ushers here. I said greeters rather. My brain. I lost my mic, and it was right there at the seat. Yeah. So here we go. I'm in good hands. I got Preston here. If we've got some visitors today, if you wish, there's a visitor's card in the pew. Take and fill that out, and when the ushers come by to take up the morning offering, just drop it in the plate. They do an outstanding job of getting those cards to me. So we'll get a call out to you, get you better acquainted with this church family. So if this is your first morning here, this is known as the Joys and Concerns. We've got Preston right here, very capable disciple, with a microphone. Raise your hand if you have a joy that could be, for instance, birthday or anniversary announcement, or a testimony of how the light shining right now on your path. You want to reflect that light. Share that joy. Or there's a concern. Maybe someone you love, you want to lift them up in prayer and alert us to that need. Raise your hand for joys and concerns, and Preston's going to bring you the mic. Keep them up high for him, though. Keep them up high so he could see you. Joys and concerns. Let's see. Hello, girls. Yes, shout it down for us. Birthday? Oh, Star, that's wonderful. Raise a cheer. Raise a cheer, children of God. Yes, Star.
And then my niece and my nephew get
baptized
today.
Oh, wow. Raise a bigger cheer. Baptism. Yeah. Birth and second birth. Birth and second birth. Awesome. Born again. Oh, and I tell you what, while you're doing that, I can take this one from Allison. Go ahead and shout it down, Allison. Whose birthday, honey? Haley? Haley's birthday? Haley's birthday. Raise a cheer. Raise a cheer. Neighbors.
Back in the 1st of December, Mary Jo had the total knee replacement. And with all of her other health issues, they told her it's going to probably be another 3 to 4 months for recuperation. She's just now starting to walk with a cane at home. But if she goes out, she still has to have a walker.
Continue to lift her up in prayer. I tell you, I know I don't, there again, I know I don't know that kind of pain. I talked to Dick a lot about it. He and Margaret had gone through that. When the weather was changing and when that big storm was coming in here recently, I was in the worst pain of my life in my knee. We want to remember her in prayer.
This week, Megan will be celebrating another birthday on
fantastic.
The 13th.
Mother, fantastic. Megan, happy birthday, happy birthday. She smiles a lot these days, if you notice, Mama. She and Will going to get married. We're just so thrilled. Really looking forward to that. June 14th. I get it right? Yeah.
Nobody said anything, but the show choir did really well, I guess, last Saturday or Saturday before. I don't know what Saturday. I don't know how many all we have, but I know we have some students in that, and I'd like to congratulate them on that.
That's fantastic. Karen, fantastic. And I remember your April was in that too, wasn't she, Mama? That's what I thought. We enjoyed that. John, Brother John, I could take that one. Go ahead and shout her down here for me. Very good. Happy birthday. Thank you. See, I read. I've got to get my glasses fixed because I thought I had read that. But bless your heart, Karen. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I think also we ought to congratulate our basketball team for games well played this weekend and still undefeated. So let's go Knights.
As in the gym, shall it be in the house of the Lord. Raise the cheer. Raise the cheer. You can do it. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Other joys or concerns? Other joys or concerns?
Great.
Oh, yes, yes. Here we go, Preston.
It's birthday week, and this week is also Jeff's birthday on the 13th. So,
happy birthday, Jeff. For every birthday, you and I, we've got to tack on one more mile to the 10-miler. Tell Dave. Yes, Dick. Oh, yeah. Here we go, Preston. Take the microphone back there to Dick. Thank you, son. Preston's doing a great job.
When Lynn mentioned the 13th, that's also my wife Margaret's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Margaret. Happy birthday. And so we're talking the day before Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, very good. Very good. I wish you a hand right back here. Brother Warren?
There are those that probably have followed Chelsea Seifker's route much closer than I, but I was so impressed and so surprised Friday night and, of course, last night again to see her at the ball game. We all remember, it doesn't seem that long ago, in that head-on collision. And of course, they had prayer for her that very night on the floor at Delphus at the Jefferson game, I believe it was. But certainly out the result of prayer. This girl is amazing, the report. We need to remember, of course, Jasmine Coleman, who has also just graduated just a year or so ago. And Dave, he keeps reminding us, but she's the one that's in, I guess, waiting on a lung transplant, Dave? Yeah, but anyways, young people.
Thank you, Brother Warren. Thank you. And I know there's a lot of buddies back here in the house. I see the Learys back here, Dave's daughters, a lot of friends back there.
Mom's birthday is also the 13th.
Fantastic.
She'll be 85, and anybody that might have the time or the will to send her a card, she loves getting mail.
Bless your heart, buddy. Yes, she is very appreciative, isn't she, Ed? God bless Romaine. God bless you, son. Your mom is a joy. She is a joy, Ed. Any other joys or concerns? Any others? Boy, there is salt and light in the house today. Let us give thanks for Preston. Give a thanks to the Lord for his servant. Well done, son. Well done. Good man. Let us turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Lord God, pour your holiness upon us that we may be inflamed with your spirit of charity and love. Salt us with a passion for justice, that we may go forth in courage and strength to break the bonds of oppression and poverty here and all around the world. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, who has invited us to pray with him this beloved prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The lesson and the real core lesson that we're going to finally lean upon, focus upon, is you are the light of the world, the words of the Savior. You are the light of the world. And of course, light is a very, very precious and important metaphor in the Old and the New Testament. For again, it speaks of the presence of God. And an appreciation we want to give right now for that presence of our Lord and for His Word that is among us. So we're going to have you stand at this time. This was Michael W. Smith wrote this back in the 80s. And of course, we remember, most of us remember Amy Grant doing this. But let's stand together for 601, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. Please be seated, and I want to say a special thanks to Linda and to Keith, who helping with this. You know, we sang it as actually, if you want to say the vernacular, I mean, we're used to hearing it repeated. And Michael W. Smith wrote it, and of course we've heard Amy Grant do it, and she repeats that. But it's not actually noted in the hymn book for some reason. So thanks, special thanks to Linda and to Keith, because that surely is a marvelous, marvelous hymn. Well, we have a marvelous, marvelous Word of God today. It is the light unto our path because it is about the light and it's also about salt. Let us begin with the actual scripture from Matthew as recorded from Matthew. And I'm looking for it here. Greg, my Bible, Lorelei, you know what? Greg Lay. Yes, you know I had it, sweetheart. Let me get my glasses. I take the time to blow that up on the computer. My eyesight's not getting any better. I don't want to mislead you. I've been using my computer, and I have it. And I tell you, you should see it looks beautiful on my desk back home. So let's go ahead and you've got those beautiful the Bibles there in the pews. If you want to turn to those, you can. Let us turn to the 13th verse of that fifth chapter. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Do the same, says Jesus. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father, who was in heaven. Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments, teaches others to do so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word.
Stay.
You know, I was amazed. I always get amazed, Keith. You know that when I hear the mix here, how that the Holy Spirit brings us all together, that imagery there about the darkness telling us to give up hope. You know, there's no hope. The darkness. Well, nothing can overcome the light of God. We begin with these metaphors in the teaching of our Savior and our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who begins, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, salt has many attributes, but especially for the ancients, one that we probably aren't that sensitive to. I mean, we've got refrigerators, right? Do any of you remember maybe your grandparents, your great-grandparents talking about the importance of salt as a preserving a force? You do, Brother Warren. Yes. My grandmother out on the farm in Osgood, Indiana, out in the country. I live in the country. She lived in the country. So salt was a preserving force, a life-preserving force is, of course, the direction that Jesus wants to take us. But it's so important. Now, this morning, I got to tell you all, I really figured last night, I mean, we came home late last night and went bumping down the lane, and I'm not talking Monmouth now, I'm talking about my driveway. So we're bumping down the lane, and Laura says, "Honey, what is that?" I said, well, good heavens, baby, it's drift. It's drift after drift after drift after drift, Dick. Dick said, "Greg, you sure picked a fine year to move to the country." And it was drift after drift, but I wasn't really that alarmed, you know, so I backed it in because I wanted to be able to hit the pedal to the metal and fire out like a rocket, like a sled. And I figured I was going to have to do that, Gil. So when I got out early this morning, you know, about 6:30, cleaning off the car, and I'm looking at this and I'm saying, "Hello." Were you all surprised with the amount of snow that got dumped on us? My goodness, it was coming down. It was another whiteout out there, Dick. And so, man, I was panicked. Well, I didn't need to panic because guess what? Here came the old salt truck. Praise the Lord. Here came a salt truck. And I'm not talking down Monmouth. I'm talking a salt truck came right up to my front porch. And I'm not talking sodium chloride. Neither is Jesus. Neither is Jesus. He's talking about the Spirit of the living God that wants to live in the hearts and the souls of His creation and to be that life-preserving force, a force that preserves the lives of others. This Jesus came to care for us, and that's what the challenge is, to be salt and to be light, is to join Him, to participate in His ministry, to care for others. Here came the old salt truck. You know, I heard the mayor of Fort Wayne talking that they ran out of salt. They ran out of salt, Brad. They're going to have to ask for more money. You know what? We got salt in abundance. Salt, the salt truck came filled with abundance, Bob Hall. That's the salt I'm talking about. Now, he's going to get me. I bragged on his brother recently, and I'm going to say it again. What's the old adage? It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So I'm going to brag on him, but that's what it's about. Caring for others. And I've seen this guy out with his truck. You have too, haven't you? You've seen him go all throughout the community and clearing the paths for others. Man, that's a salt that won't fail. No money on earth can buy that salt, but no poverty on earth can rob us of that salt. That's the enduring salt right there. How many of you have appreciated your sidewalks out here on Sunday mornings with all these blizzards, huh? That's the salt of Shelley and Steve Holden and the family. I see Ashley back here. That's salt. That's that caring for others. That's going that second mile and then some, Shelley, again and again and again and again. Salt. Caring for others. A preserving force. And there is salt all over the sanctuary. When we met at the board, the last board meeting, Margaret, I had to, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb, right? I had to ask Laura when we left. Sometimes I just keep my mouth shut in those meetings because I don't want to betray my ignorance, nor my disbelief. We got back home. I said, "Now, baby doll, did I hear it correctly? Did I hear that the church sent out over $18,000 in mission giving? Did I hear that at the..." Margaret's shaking her head. "It is true. over $18,000 to preserve lives, and that doesn't even touch the giving for the apportionments, which is to serve lives. Salt. You know, when Dee Stickley Minor came and she shared about the wings of the morning and the lives literally being saved, that's the life-saving, life-preserving power of salt. So be salt. Be the salt of the apportionments. Be the salt of the missions. Be the salt in whatever way the Lord chooses to use you to season the lives of others. And that's the other aspect of salt. Not only is it a life-preserving force, but if any of you ever sat down to that wonderful, idyllic-looking portion of mashed potatoes and there's no salt, what's the first thing you do? What are we going to do next Sunday? With love and with joy, we will say to one another, sister, brother, would you please pass the salt? Salt adds a zest, another dimension to life. And that's what Jesus is talking about. That wonderful zest, that element of the ethereal. Something of heaven coming down to earth in salt, lo and behold. When Steve Bennett and I get together for our meetings, well, we deal with business first. And a lot of times, I hate to confess it, but it's rather perfunctory. And we do it. We get through it. Then the moment the required agenda has been satisfied, first thing Steve will ask me, on a personal note, Greg, Brother Greg, how's it going with that organist and that piano player? Man, he goes on to Linda and Keith. He loves you, choir. Lynn, he loves you. And I got to explain, when he was at Asbury, they had that remarkable chemistry. You know, that sodium chloride of the spirit, salt. They had a pipe organ in the chapel. They had a piano player in the chapel. And when that recipe comes together with the voices of, Jesus said, if I tell you earthly things you don't believe, how will you fathom the things of heaven? You know what I firmly believe, Brother Warren? There's going to be music in heaven because some of it has penetrated the veil and come down to earth in this recipe of Linda, Keith, and choir. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Zest and a joy for a living. You are salt, therefore be salt, says Jesus. Be what you're created to be. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither does one light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket, but they set it on a lampstand so that it sheds light to all who are in the house. Do the same, says Jesus. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works, your works of love, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There's an old apocryphal joke that's been formulated in various venues. I've done it myself in another form, but this one goes back to my carpenters here. This goes back to a carpenter duo by the name of Joe and Mo. Now, it's a joke, okay? It's an apocryphal tale. Joe and Mo are working on a house, and Mo, now I said I'm not the brightest bulb, but in this case, Mo is not the sharpest tool in the shed. And Joe, for good or for bad, loves to poke fun with him and pull pranks on him. So they're working on this two-story house, and it's getting near dark, and they pull the ladder down. And so Joe gets an idea to pull a prank on poor Mo. He shines a flashlight up to the second story, and he says, Mo, come here, old buddy. Mo, would you mind climbing up this light beam and get a hold of my hammer that I left up there on the second floor? And Mo says to Joe, how dumb do you think I am? And so Joe apologized. He maybe crossed the line. But then Mo continues, Joe, how dumb you think I am. I know you too well. I'd get halfway up that beam and you'd turn the flashlight off. Now that's an apocryphal tale. Brian and I told it in another format. It's an apocryphal tale. Now I'm going to give you a true story that's going to floor you. There have been a lot of history specials on recently about Einstein. The Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, and that beautiful writing that Linda Bear sent my way about Billy Graham, when he was sharing with the people there he mentioned that Einstein was on the cover of the Time magazine as the one of the minds of the century. And he was one of the most brilliant minds that the Creator ever fashioned. And yet, listen to this true story. Billy Graham told the one. Now listen to this one. Einstein was hobbling around on a crutch at the institute in which he was working in his day. And he turns to a colleague, and the colleague says, "Dr. Einstein, what's the problem?" "Oh," he said, "I stubbed my toe in the night." He says, "You know, I have done this 5 or 6 times, walking in the darkness." And he said, "The thing that really bothers me is every time I do this, they force me to go in and have that foot x-rayed to make sure that there are no bones broken." It's a true story. The colleague says, "But Dr. Einstein, wouldn't it be much simpler just to switch on a light?" "Oh," said Albert Einstein, "I never thought of that." True story. True story. There was a certain father who had 2 children. He was going to have to turn over the business, the leadership of the business. He was up in years. And he had 2 children, and he couldn't decide which one should receive the role and the responsibility of taking over the business. So he takes his 2 children to the side, and he gives each of them a single coin with the instruction, "You're to take this coin, and I want you to buy something that will fill the house." Well, the older child, a son, thought about this, and he went out and he bought a load of straw. Pretty good idea. But when he got back home, he found that even with that whole load of straw purchased by that coin, he couldn't even cover the flooring. The second child, the younger, was a daughter. She went out and she bought candles. And when she returned home, as she lighted each candle, it filled the room until, lo and behold, the whole house was filled with light. The father smiled. He says, "Child, you have made the wiser choice, and to you we will entrust the leadership of the family business. You are the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither does one light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but it puts it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Ben Franklin, whenever he wanted to interest the people of Philadelphia in street lighting, he didn't try to persuade them by just using words. He hung a beautiful lantern on a long bracket out in front of his home. He kept the glass highly polished. And then every evening at the approach of dusk, he carefully lit the wick. People would see its light from a distance, and they found that when they walked in its light, they could avoid sharp stones on the pavement. Well, before long, others started placing lights before their homes, and shortly thereafter, Philadelphia recognized the need for street lighting. Children, Jesus is saying that when others learn of the peace and the joy that you have in your life in Christ, they will recognize their need for Him as well. Your witness through a personal testimony may be the very reflected light of the Lord, the light of the Lord that they need on their path at that hour of darkness. Darkness comes. People still stumble in the darkness. Now, we're not like in the days of Palestine. You know, it was a dangerous world at night. I mean, they didn't have the street lights that Ben Franklin ushered into Philadelphia. They didn't have that. And so when you took a journey at night, that's when the robbers plied their trade. And even when you got home, you didn't go to the wall and hit the switch. You know what you had to do? You didn't want to burn your house down. And you didn't want to have to kindle a flame. That was the worst part of all, was trying to produce flame. So what they would do, the ancients in the days of Jesus, and of course Jesus' audience, they're right up on this. They're following every word. When you left your house at night, you would take that lamp and you would put it, and you'd cover it with a, well, the translation today is bushel basket, but it was like an earthen bowl. It was an earthen bowl. And so that way, the light wouldn't go out, still burn, but you didn't lose your home, right? So the first thing you would do when you came home, you would then lift the earthen bowl, or in this case, the translation, bushel basket. You would lift it, and then immediately, you would lift it back on the lampstand so that it gave light to all in the house. Now, they understood darkness in a way that we don't, but there is still darkness, isn't there? There are still the times in the journey when you find that you're looking for a beacon of light. There are times when there are times when your heart is broken, and it just feels almost like that anthem that the darkness is telling you there's no more hope. But the Lord is with us, and that's what Jesus is sending you and me out to do, is to reflect his light. Father Henry Nouwen, one time Father Henry Nouwen, in a writing called The Wounded Healer, shared about the dark moments in people's lives, and he gave the case, of course, the wounded healer, the basis of the wounded healer is that in God's kingdom, ultimately, there are no healers except for wounded healers, which means that when you've gone through this time of darkness and you have had that light of Christ on your path, you have known that strength, then when you see someone else who's stumbling in that darkness, you go to them, and there again, you witness to them. You witness about the light. You reflect his light. You share them about that strength that you found. And they'll see that. There again, they'll see that strength in you. And Father Henry Nouwen was approached by a gentleman who said, when someone's spouse dies, and that was what he was dealing with, a friend of his wife had died. He said, Father Nouwen, what do I say to him? In a time like that, what do you say to somebody, right? We've all been there, right? You know what Father Nouwen said? Don't say anything. Make them a cup of coffee. Amen? Actions can speak louder than words. We must reflect his light, and we must not let that light go out. There was a man telling of car trouble late one evening. And by the way, do you ever have car trouble according to your schedule? You ever notice that? Isn't that a truism of life? I told Denny, I said, Denny, I bet everybody's calling you. I almost speed dialed him the other morning. I couldn't get the car to turn over. It was so cold. So this guy had trouble, and it was late at night. He managed to find a little garage, Denny. And the engine needed attended. And so the mechanic was examining the problem while the mechanic's helper was directing the beams of a powerful flashlight into the recesses under the hood. Something distracted the helper for a moment, only momentarily, but as he turned, doing so inadvertently, he turns off the flashlight. Danny, I don't know whether you've ever been there, but the mechanic looked up with a humorous impatience. He exclaims, "Son, shine your light. What are you here for anyway? Shine your light. What are you here for anyway?" Somebody may be looking for that beacon in the night. Maybe today your witness for Christ might be the saving witness and the light that they've been desperately searching for. We cannot let the light go out. In closing, in the early days of railroading, every main railroad crossing had its crossing guard. How many of you here remember the crossing guards? My grandfather built trains. And the story I'm going to tell you, I searched and searched the web to see if this was my grandfather's story, because it was my grandfather's story. It's what happened to him. It's how he died. Every main railroad crossing had a crossing guard. The job of the crossing guard was to come out and signal with a lantern whenever a train was approaching. Well, one night, and this happened to my grandfather, this happened to him. One night, this particular crossing guard fell asleep in his shack. But he woke up, and he ran out with the lantern seconds before the train came. There was a terrible accident, and that's how my grandfather was killed. Later, there was an investigation, and the crossing guard was asked two questions. Were you present at your job? And two, did you have your lantern? He answered yes to both. Yes, he was present. Yes, he had his lantern. And thus, He was exonerated of all blame. Many years later, Ted, many years later, the poor crossing guard came forth with a painful confession. Yes, I was present at my job. Yes, I had my lantern, but nobody ever asked me if the lantern was lit. We must not let the light go out. Christ is the light. Nothing will extinguish His light. And He wants to shine through you, brothers, and you, sisters. So be salt. Be light for Jesus Christ and for the sake of His beloved creation. This time, the ushers are going to come by and they're going to take up a mess of salt and a lot of light to shine upon the earth through the morning offering. Let us pray together. God of light and love, shine through these offerings that our love may radiate throughout the world. Make bright the hope of justice and mercy in places of darkness and fear. Guide our paths that we may always be lights of compassion for a world in need. Amen. And I want to thank you, church, for your faithful response. You live out this hymn. What, 2 weeks, is it, Dick? 2 weeks you're heading out? But you live this out in so many ways. 569, we've a story to tell to the nations. Now may that love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us all now and forever. Amen.